Anyway, so today we have a special guest, one of my friends. She's all the way from down under. I told the youth on Wednesday night, I was like, hey, we have a guest speaker. She's from Australia. And even if you, like, don't want to come to hear a good word, which you will hear a good word today, but even if you don't want to come for a good word, if you just want to come to hear a really cool accent, since she's got it, so I hope you guys pay attention. I mean, if we can handle Pastor Armstrong's accent, where it's so thick and so, like, hard to hear, Pastor Armstrong is from Ghana, Africa. So, yeah. So if you guys can handle hearing Pastor Armstrong's accent, I'm sure you guys will be able to make out her accent. She's so sweet. She's so lovely. But she has the fire and the passion. She carries the word of God all throughout the world. She just traveled from, where were you? Where did you just come from right now? India? Singapore. She just came from preaching from India and then Singapore, and now she's here in the States. And so I'm so honored to have her with us, and we're all honored to have her with us. But I say all that to say, if you guys can please make sure that you guys are paying attention, you guys are honoring her as she preaches the word of God. She might be this little beautiful petite little woman, but I'm telling you, she brings a fiery word of God. Amen. So with that, can we give Layla a big hand clap? Pastor Layla.
Awesome. How are you doing, Hope Community Church? It's good to see you this morning. Oh, what an awesome church. And do you know what? It's such an honor to be here. I just wanted to honor your pastors, Pastors Drew and Camera as well, and the whole Cohen family for having me. Thank you so much for hosting me. And thank you, church, for having me this morning. This is my first time preaching in the United States of America. Oh. And what an honor it is to be here with you guys. So my name's Layla. I'm from a church in Adelaide in Australia. If you've ever been to Australia, I've been on the team there with Pastors David and Donna Hall for over 10 years, and it's a great honor to be a part of the team there. My name's Layla Nahavandi. So usually when I meet people for the first time, anyone who's sort of above the age of 40 will start singing to me. They'll start singing the old Eric Clapton song, Layla, you got me on my knees. So that's really awkward when someone you've never met before start singing to you. But also, usually people are like, well, you know, like, where are you from? Because, you know, you've got the Australian accent, but your name is not Australian, you don't look Australian. So my dad is Persian, my mum is Irish, and so it's a very weird mix. I was born in England, grew up in New Zealand, and then spent a lot of my life in Australia. So a family dinner for us is like a gathering of the United Nations. The countries that you would never sit together are sitting together at our family dinner table. Which is awesome, isn't it? My family got saved when I was around 5 years old. And my dad came from a Muslim background. My mum converted to Islam to marry my dad. Some things happened when I was about 5 years old, and mum moved out of home. And we had a neighbor who just shared the gospel with my mum and said, look, I believe that God loves you. He has a plan for your life. If you give your life to him, you'll never regret it. And so mum gave her life to Jesus. Very soon after that, my dad had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that changed his life, gave his life to Jesus as well. It's absolutely incredible. And so I've just grown up a Christian ever since. From the age of five, I've grown up in the house of God, and the blessing that it is to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and to live filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Does anyone love the power of the Holy Spirit as well? It's awesome. We're all about that. So I'm incredibly honored to be sharing the word this morning. I'd love for us to turn to John chapter 11 and verse 1. How are you going with my accent? Is it all right? I know it might be a bit hard to understand. I've noticed we say things a lot differently. Like, we say awesome. Do you want to give it a go? Say awesome, awesome, awesome. Now say it like an American. Awesome, awesome, yeah. So it might be a bit hard. We might need an interpreter. I'll get an interpreter up later on today if you can't understand me. But we're going to John chapter 11 and verse 1. John 11 verse 1. And it says this, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Now, if we can jump down to verse 21, it says this. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, we're jumping down to verse 43. And it says, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot, with grave clothes on, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Church, can we just bow our heads and pray together before we get into the word this morning? Father God, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So God, right now I just ask that faith would arise in every single one of our hearts, God. God, no matter what we're facing today, no matter what trial, no matter what challenge or problem, God, I thank you that you are bigger, you are greater. And I thank you, God, that when we have faith in you, God, we can have the victory through you. And God, I pray that you would come and you would meet with us this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open our eyes to what you are doing in and through us, and I pray that your presence would be with us in this place, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. 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 Well, my message this morning is called He's Working On It. He's Working On It. Why don't you turn to the person next to you, touch the person next to you and say, hey, He's working on it. He's working on it. He's working on it. He's working on it. Turn to the person on your other side and say, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. All right. He's working on it. He's working on it. This is an incredible passage of scripture where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And it starts by telling us that a man named Lazarus was sick and he lived in a place called Bethany. Now, this place called Bethany, when you see a Hebrew word in the Bible and it starts with the word Beth, that literally means house, house of something. So Beth means house. And then they added a word to the end to tell you what type of place that was. So house of bread is Bethlehem, house and bread. House of God is Bethel, house and God. And Bethany is literally house or place of affliction. So Lazarus and Mary and Martha found themselves in a place of affliction. They found themselves in a place where they were in desperate need of God. And I don't know if you're in this place this morning and you're going through a trouble, you're going through trials, you're going through some sort of problem, you're going through some sort of affliction. I believe that Jesus wants to come and meet you in your place of affliction. Jesus made his way to his place of affliction. And so Jesus went, the Bible tells us, to Bethany. The Bible says that Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they had this problem. They had a problem where their brother was sick. Their brother was sick and it was leading him to death. And it's really interesting that it says that Lazarus was sick, and because Lazarus was actually one of Jesus' best friends. You know, when Jesus went to stay in a particular place, he would love to go and stay at the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He would hang out with him, with them, and he would eat with them, and he would spend time with them. These were his friends. These were the people that he was close with. This is where he chose to stay. But it says that they still had a problem. You know what, church? This can encourage us this morning, because we can know that sometimes when we're going through problems, problems are not indicative necessarily of the absence of God's presence. And problems are not indicative of the absence of his purpose. And problems are not indicative of the absence of his power. No matter what no matter how close we are with God, the Bible says that we will always have problems. The Bible says that we live in a fallen and broken world. The Bible says in this world, you will have challenges, you will have troubles. But what? Take heart, because Jesus has overcome the world. Amen? Take heart, because Jesus has overcome the world. So if you're facing a problem this morning, if you're facing a challenge, it does not mean that God is far from you. It does not mean that God has turned his back on you. It does not mean that God is judging you or condemning you. It just means that you have an opportunity to see the glory of God move in the midst of your life. So Lazarus was waiting for Jesus. Lazarus was waiting for Jesus. And the Bible tells us that after 2 days, Jesus waited 2 days in the place that he was after he had heard that Lazarus was sick. So Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick, and it says that he doesn't even respond. He just waits in the same place for 2 days. Now, I don't know if you're a little bit like me and sort of time. Poor Shayla was waiting for me this morning to get out of the house. But, you know, I don't know if you're a little bit like me and maybe, you know, it takes you a while to get places. But maybe sometimes people will text you and they'll be like, hey, you know, we'll meet you at Starbucks. I know you Americans love your Starbucks. I'll meet you at Starbucks. Shout out for Starbucks. That'll get you an amen in church this morning. Starbucks. That's awesome. Starbucks. So, you know, you might be meeting your friend at Starbucks and you look at your phone and it's time to be there and you're like, oh no, you text your friend, you're like, sorry, I'm just on my way. But really you're just sitting in your dressing gown, you're watching the next episode of The Bachelor, you're eating your Doritos. You're like, I'm on my way, I'm coming, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I don't know if you've ever done that before. I'm on my way. But Jesus didn't even pull one of those ones. Jesus didn't even say, I'm on my way. Jesus just waited in the same place for 2 days. Jesus didn't even say, I'm coming. All he did was he turned to his disciples and he said, this will not end in death. In other words, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Do you know what? It might may feel in your situation, in your circumstance this morning that Jesus has been delayed. It may feel that Jesus hasn't turned up at the right time or the right moment. But I want to let you know this morning that Jesus is working on it. Jesus is working in the midst of your situation. Jesus is working in the midst of your miracle. Jesus is working on it. And he is always right on time. He is always right on time. He is always right on time. Touch your neighbor and say, he's working on it. He's working on it. don't touch me. That's fine. That's fine. He's working on it. He's working on it. The Bible tells us that many people had come to console Mary and Martha after Lazarus had died. So in this two-day period, it seems that Lazarus actually passed away. It looked like Jesus was too late. Jesus hadn't shown up when they thought that he would show up. Jesus, one of their best friends, and Jesus, one of the people who they knew could heal him and who they knew could turn the situation around, hadn't shown up when they thought he would. And so he's died, and they've put him in a tomb. And so lots of people came and they came to console Mary and Martha. They came to console them and to walk with them through this horrible time in their lives. And the Bible says that Jesus made his way to Bethany. But it's important for us to know that Jesus was not making his way just to console them. Jesus was not just coming to comfort them. Jesus wasn't coming just to be a shoulder to cry on. You know, sometimes in our world today, people look at Christians and they say, you know, they're just people who need some sort of emotional crutch. How many know Jesus is not just an emotional crutch? When Jesus comes into the midst of our circumstances, when Jesus comes to the place where we are, he doesn't just come to console us or to comfort us or to bring peace. He comes to bring power. He comes to bring miracles. He comes to shift atmospheres. He comes to change things. And so Jesus was coming not just to console, but he came to make the impossible possible. Jesus was coming to work. Jesus was coming to move. See, while Lazarus had been waiting, Jesus was working. While Martha was wondering what was going on, Jesus was working. While Mary was weeping, Jesus was working. Jesus had been working all along, and Jesus wanted to work in the midst of their circumstance at this time. Jesus was working. Jesus was working. And you know what? In the midst of this miracle, we see in the Bible that Jesus was not just working on the miracle of resurrection, of raising Lazarus from the dead. Although he was working on the miracle, he was also working on revealing himself. He was working on revealing who he was. He wasn't just working on raising someone. He was working on revealing someone. He was working on revealing himself. And when God does miracles all throughout the Bible, he is not just working on the miracle, he's working on revealing himself and revealing his heart and revealing a part of his character to his people. And so this morning, I just love to look at what God was revealing about himself through this miracle and in the midst of this miracle. Three things that Jesus revealed in the midst of the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. The first thing that was revealed to the people there was that he revealed to Martha His purpose. He revealed his purpose to Martha. In John chapter 11 and verse 20, it says, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. And now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you.'" Martha said, "God, even now I believe that you are able. Even now I believe that you are working." Do you know what, church? I believe that we can, in the midst of our discouragement, in the midst of our disappointment, in the midst of the trials that we're walking through, we can have a Martha spirit that says, "I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I'm walking through this valley. But God, even now I know that you're moving. Even now I know that you're working. Even now I believe in you." In verse 23, it says that Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." See, to Martha, Jesus wanted to reveal his purpose. She knew that Jesus had an ability to heal. She knew even that Jesus had an ability to raise the dead on the last day. She's saying to Jesus, "I know that one day you will raise the dead. I know that on the last day, I know that in the end times, I know that you will raise the dead on the last day." But what she didn't know was that Jesus could raise the dead today, that Jesus could move in her life on this day, that Jesus' purpose was not just for that day. Jesus' purpose was also for this day. It was also for the here and now. Amen. So Jesus' purpose is not just for us when we get to heaven. Jesus' purpose is for us here and now. He wants to move in the midst of our lives today. He has an agenda. He is working on it. And when we have a revelation of his purpose, it'll change the way that we believe. See, that in that moment, Martha realized that Jesus wasn't just working in her life in the future. Jesus wasn't just planning to raise the dead on that day. He could raise the dead today. A revelation of his purpose will change the way that we believe. The second thing we see Jesus reveal in this passage is to Mary, he reveals his presence. To Mary, he reveals his presence. In verse 32, it says, "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, 'Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" And verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, says, "Jesus wept." Jesus wept. Mary had an encounter with the presence of Jesus. In this moment, Mary was closer to Jesus than she'd ever been before, and so she discovered his presence in a whole new way. Pastor Shayla was sharing before about how I was just in India. So my best friend got married and moved to India. Who would do that? I would never do that, but she did that. She got married and moved to India. She married a pastor from over there. And so I went to an Indian wedding for the very first time in my life over there, and it was quite an experience. There were 2,000 guests, over 2,000 guests at the wedding. How would you like that? So we were in the wedding, and I'm wearing the sari, and, you know, there's so many people, and it's so hot, and we're just dripping with sweat, and we're sitting on the stage for 5 hours as every single one of the guests comes and gets a photo with the bridal party. And I'm like, what? And then they've got like a bottle of Coke that everyone's sharing around. I'm like, that's too close for me. I want my own bottle of Coke. I don't want to share a bottle of Coke with everyone else. So you got close, and by being close to people, you encountered their presence in a whole new way. There were smells that you were smelling and sweat that was touching you, and, you know, people that you were closer to than you wanted to be, and you encountered their presence in a whole new way. And in the same way, when Mary was going through this challenge, and when she was in the midst of this situation, Jesus got closer to her than he had ever been before, than she had ever noticed before. He was weeping with her. He was sitting with her in the midst of her valley. And because he was closer to her than he had ever been before, she encountered his presence in a whole new way. And the start of this passage of scripture tells us that this is the same Mary who poured out the perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair before his burial. It's also the same Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus while her sister went and worked in the kitchen. So we see two examples of this Mary worshiping Jesus. We see that before this moment when she had a revelation of his presence, she still knew that his presence was important. She would sit at his feet. But we see that after this encounter with Jesus, after she got close to Jesus, after she had a revelation of his presence, we see that in the very next moment, in the very next encounter that she has with Jesus, it has totally changed the way that she worshipped. She couldn't just sit at his feet anymore. She had to go further. She had to go to a whole new level. She had to pour something out. It changed the way that she worshipped because she had encountered the presence of God in a whole new way. She had been, his presence had been revealed to her in a whole new way. And when we have a revelation of the presence of God, it'll actually change the way that we worship. It changed the way that she worshipped. So for Martha, it changed the way that she believed when Jesus revealed his purpose. But when Jesus revealed his presence to Mary, it changed the way that she worshipped. The third and final thing, maybe if a keyboard player could join me, that would be awesome. The third and final thing that Jesus revealed in this passage of scripture was his power. To Lazarus, he revealed his power. So in verse 40, it says, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had come and said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." To Lazarus, Jesus reveals his power. I wonder if when Lazarus' body hears the voice of Jesus calling him from beyond the grave, I wonder if when he opens his eyes and he sees those grave clothes on him and he realizes where he was, I wonder if he realizes that, hey, Jesus' power was not limited to my own limited mind and my own limited thinking. Jesus' power is so much greater than anything I've ever known, anything I've ever encountered, anything I've ever experienced. I wonder if later in the upper room on that day of Pentecost, I wonder if when Lazarus' head was hit with the fire of God, when he began to speak in tongues, I wonder if he was like, "I know this power because it's the same power that I felt raised me from the dead when I got out of that tomb. I know this power." The Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. That same power of the Holy Spirit is here in this room this morning. That same power of the Holy Spirit was not just for Lazarus, but it's also for us here and now. When we have a revelation of the power of Jesus, it'll change the way that we live. It'll change the way that we live. I don't know if anyone knows a pastor named Pastor Samuel Rodriguez. He's an awesome pastor. I look up to him. But he just recently released a movie that was partnered with 20th Century Fox. Now, being in LA and knowing that a Christian has partnered with a secular movie company is incredible. Like, that's just amazing. That's the favor and the glory and the grace of God for the world. But Pastor Samuel Rodriguez launched a movie called Breakthrough. I don't know if anyone went and saw it. And it's a story of this lady who had a son, and he was 14 years old. And this 14-year-old boy was on a lake that was frozen over in the middle of an icy lake in St. Louis, Missouri. And as the story goes, basically he was with two friends and they were walking across the lake, and all of a sudden they fall in. They found a weak spot in the ice and fall in. And the two friends managed to get out somehow, but this young man, John Smith, he was under the water for 15 minutes. And so paramedics make their way and they come and they try and fish him out of the water. They get him out onto the land. They try and revive him. They can't revive him. There's no signs of life. And for 27 minutes, they keep trying to revive him, trying to do stuff and trying to make it work, but nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. He's not showing any signs of life. And so they take this young man to the hospital. Still 45 minutes later, there's no pulse. There's no recovery. There's nothing that's happening. And his mother walks into the room and they tell her to, you know, come and, you know, say goodbye and to talk to him and whatever. And she comes and she's a woman of God. She's a woman of faith. And so she prays over her son. Anyone who's seen the movie, you've seen her crying out to God, Holy Spirit, he'll live and not die. She starts to pray. She starts to declare life over her son's body. And all of a sudden, this body that's not shown any signs of life, not shown any pulse for over 45 minutes, all of a sudden the heartbeat starts to go. The pulse starts to come back. The power of God enters this young man's body and he is raised to life. The doctors say, if you go and read in NBC News and you go and read in different news articles from the time, you can read the doctor's reports that they say Dr. Jeremy Garrett told the station still, doctors remain baffled that his brain function was preserved. Dr. Garrett said John's recovery remains like nothing he had ever seen before. This is a bona fide miracle from the mouth of the doctor. Why? Because Jesus' power was not just at work in the tomb of Lazarus to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus' power was not just at work on the cross and at the tomb of Jesus to raise Jesus from the dead, but Jesus' resurrection power is here and now. Jesus' resurrection power is moving in our world today. Jesus' resurrection power is in this room, is in this house today. He is here to move in miracle-working power in this place. You know what? We've seen miracles happen all over the world. We've seen healings happen and we've seen God do incredible things, but how many know that God wants his miracle power, miracle working power, to touch the United States of America? That God wants a revival, an awakening to happen in the United States of America, so people would encounter the reality of a living God who is not weak and passive, but who is moving in our midst. The miracle working power of God is for here, it's for Los Angeles, it's for our families, it's for us today. And I would love for us to stand to our feet in this moment, just bow our heads and close our eyes. You might be in this place today, and before we move on, you might be in this place and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never said the prayer to invite Jesus into your heart and your life. Just while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you, that Jesus cares about you. The 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to the earth that he created to die on a cross to save us from our sin. See, the Bible tells us that every single one of us is with sin, is with imperfection. The Bible tells us that because we have gone our own way, we have turned our back on God. And so because we've turned our back on God and gone our own way, we need something and someone to help us make our way back to God. We can't make our way back to God on our own because not one of us is holy enough or perfect enough to do that. But thank God that Jesus, 2,000 years ago, died on a cross, a perfect sacrifice, the perfect Savior, to die in our place so that my imperfection could be covered by his perfect blood. My imperfection could be covered by his perfect sacrifice, so that if I would give my life to him, I could be saved, set free, born again, redeemed, and in perfect relationship with a holy God. If you're in this place today, and you'd say, Layla, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never responded to that free gift of salvation. I've never turned my life towards God and said, God, I want you and I want your plan. I want your purpose. I want to know you. I want relationship with you. Then in this moment, I would love to give every single person the opportunity to just lift up your hand and say, I want to know Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. On the count of three, if that's you, I want you to lift up your hand. Maybe you have prayed this prayer before, but you've walked away from God. And if you were to be honest this morning, you'd say your life is not being lived in close connection with God, you want to come back to Him. You want a close relationship, close fellowship with Him this morning. If that's you, on the count of three, why don't you lift up your hand to God and we're going to pray with you. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hands going up all over the room. Amazing, awesome, awesome, awesome. It's the best decision that you could ever make, to give your life to Jesus. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And church, could we just stand with every single person who's lifted their hand this morning and pray this prayer with them, this most incredible prayer that you could pray to begin this relationship with Jesus, to make peace with God and to start your life afresh with Him today. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to wash away my imperfection and to cover it with your perfect blood. Jesus, I thank you for the sacrifice that you made to save me from my sin. This morning, I repent and I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit to help me to live for you all the days of my life. I am a child of God. I've been set free. I'm born again, and I'm on my way to heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Can we give these people a massive welcome into the family of God this morning? That's incredible. Incredible. Welcome to the family of God. And I know the pastors here will help you get started in your relationship with Jesus. But what I would also love to do this morning, I'm going to invite the worship team, and I'd love to just have a little bit of time for ministry this morning. We'll worship Jesus and we'll just have some time to worship. But if you're in this room this morning and you really are going through a challenge, you know, I talked about Mary and Martha and Lazarus being in a place of affliction, and they needed Jesus to come and meet them in that place, and we see that the miracle working power of God flowed throughout that situation, flowed throughout their situation in that moment. Maybe you found yourself in a place of affliction. You found yourself in the midst of a situation, in the midst of a challenge where you're saying, I just need the power of God in my life. I need the power of God to come and move in the midst of my situation. I need God to speak into my life. I believe that God wants to move in this place this morning. I believe that God wants to heal bodies in this place this morning. I believe that God wants to speak prophetically into people's lives this morning. I believe that the healing power of Jesus is in this room, ready to meet with us this morning. So we're going to just spend some time in worship. But if that's you and you'd like some prayer and you'd like to just come to the altar and say, God, I need you. God, I want your miracle working power. God, I want your presence in the midst of my situation, in the midst of my circumstance, then I'm going to invite you just to come to the altar and we'll have the pastors and the ministry team just pray over you. I'll pass back to Pastor Drew as well, and they'll come and close up the service afterwards. But if that's you, why don't you join us, and why don't we just lift up our hands to Jesus and worship this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.